Speaking of segues, I mean mercy. Today's topic is on God's mercy. God's mercy is a huge subject. And I know there are speakers wondering how I'm going to condense it down into a sermonette. So am I. When we think of God's mercy, the mercy of someone in complete authority and full of power, we can correlate it a little bit into our minds to something physical, to those who are in positions of authority today who can have mercy if they choose, or no mercy if they choose. And I think there are two extremes to mercy that we see in the world today. One is merciful to a fault, to where all they do is show mercy, show mercy. It doesn't matter what you do, we will be merciful. And then there are those who feel that mercy is a form of weakness and don't want to show any mercy at all, lest they give up their power. They give up that authority, they're scared, and so they just come down with the hammer and there is no mercy. And then there's that spectrum in between. There's a growing population that are saying, oh, be merciful and love everybody. Completely. They want to destroy you. So that's the world's way. And God is there in the middle, right? God is not merciful at a fault, to the fault, to where he just says, whatever. You have the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, and so whatever you do, that's fine. But he's also not that harsh, no mercy figure of authority. We know and we have faith in God's mercy. And because of that mercy, we have hope. When we go to a judge or a person in a position of authority that has no mercy, and they are known to not have mercy, then what hope is there in getting leniency? You know that there's nothing there, and so you dread it. You're scared to go there. But we know that God is merciful, and he has brought us into his family. Let's turn to Romans chapter 11. Romans chapter 11 is a very interesting chapter when it comes to mercy and how God shows mercy not only to us, but to those, in this case, Israel, the nation of Israel, who rejected him, who pushed him away, who denied him and said, we did not need him. Verse 11 of Romans chapter 11. I say then, Paul is saying, about the Israelites, have they stumbled that they should fall? And certainly not, but through their fall, to provoke them to jealousy, salvation has come to the Gentiles. So it's interesting how God uses human nature to provoke jealousy, to say, oh, I had that, and I want it back. They had the inheritance, they gave it away, but he wants to provoke jealousy, say, no, I want that back. We've seen that in scripture too, where if a man decides not to work, to put him away so that he can feel like, no, that's exactly where I want to be. I want to repent. I want to change. We do that with our kids, and that's why I always tell parents to beat their kids. I'm kidding, of course. That's in my childbearing sermonette next week. But God does discipline, doesn't he? He does discipline, but he does so with love and with mercy. And sometimes the best thing you can do is to discipline. because that tells them, oh, I'm doing something wrong, I need to change. So to provoke them to jealousy, salvation, which is a mercy of its own, isn't it? Mercy to salvation has come to the Gentiles. And so now if their fall, the Israelites, is riches for the whole world, and their failure, riches for the Gentiles, how much more their fullness? So we see here that God is already talking about bringing them back to their fullness after they rejected him. They had that first covenant, which they broke, and then God had to write that writ of divorce against the nation of Israel, Judah. But that made way for the second covenant, which God has made with each one of us individually and has been made available to throughout the world. But God wants to bring Israel back. Verse 13, for I speak to you Gentiles, inasmuch as I am an apostle to the Gentiles, I magnify my ministry. If by any means I may provoke to jealousy those who are my flesh and save some of them. So he's preaching to the Gentiles so that the Israelites, the Jews at the time, could be provoked to jealousy to say, oh, that's the good news. That is hope. That is something I want. And they want to be saved. They want to come into the family. Verse 16. We see here that for if the first fruit is holy, the lump is also holy, the group. And if the root is holy, who is Jesus Christ, so are the branches, who are all of us. And if some of the branches were broken off, being the Israelites, and you, being a wild olive tree, were grafted in among them, and with them became a partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree. So there, God has shown us mercy, has shown the world mercy, and allowed us to be grafted in to this olive tree. Those who are first generation Christians were wild olive trees. I know that's what you thought of yourselves, but that's what Paul is saying here. He's giving us this visual. You're wild olive trees out there. But what did God show you? He showed you mercy. That mercy allowed you to be grafted in through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ. Being a wild olive tree, you were grafted in among them, and you've become partaker of the root and fatness of the olive tree. Do not boast against the branches, not the branches that fell away, the branches that were put away, right? Paul is saying, don't boast against the Jews who gave up their inheritance. That's not the mindset that we need to have. Do not boast. Remember that you do not support the root, but the root supports you. The root supports you. Sometimes there have been men who have felt that they were the roots, and they made decisions that were not supportive of the tree. And that's because they weren't the root. God the Father is the root. Jesus Christ is the root. The Holy Spirit that he has given us is the root. That is what supports us. We do not support them. You will say then, branches were broken off that I might be grafted in. Well said. That is the plan of God, the plan of salvation for all men. Because of unbelief they were broken off, but you stand by faith. Do not be haughty, but fear. Right? It's not just do whatever you want. What do we need to do? We need to fear God. For if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Once grafted in doesn't mean always grafted in. We can not be spared. And so what do? We learn to obey. We become part of the tree. The first fruit being holy. The lump being holy. The root is holy. And so because of that, we, the branches, are holy. And so we want to stay within the branches. Do not be haughty, but fear, for if God did not spare the natural branches, he may not spare you either. Therefore, consider the goodness, the mercy of God, as well as the severity of God. On those who fell, severity, but towards you, goodness and mercy. If you continue in his goodness, we continue in his ways, we continue in his laws, his statutes, his judgments, his mind within us. Otherwise, you will also be cut off. And here's mercy showing hope that leads to hope. And they also, if they do not continue in unbelief, will be grafted in again. For God is able to graft them in again. For if you were cut out of the olive tree, which is wild by nature, and were grafted contrary to nature into a cultivated olive tree, which is the church of God, which is the tree that is rooted by Jesus Christ, the Father, his Holy Spirit, how much more will these who are natural branches be grafted into their own olive tree? For the Israelites, for the Jews at this time, this tree was theirs. The inheritance belonged to them, and they said no. But they were the natural branches and could very easily be brought back in if, it says, they do not continue in unbelief. They must believe in the Son of God. They must believe that they have a sacrifice for their sins, must have faith in him, and then obey. God has so much mercy, it's unbelievable. Think about what the Israelites did, how they rejected him, how they said no, how they were spiteful in their rebellion. God is merciful. Verse 28. Concerning the gospel, they are enemies for your sake, but concerning the election, they are beloved for the sake of who? The fathers, Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, the ones that were given the promise. They are loved for the sake of their fathers, for the gifts and the calling of God are irrevocable. For as you were once disobedient to God, yet now have obtained mercy through their obedience, right? The loss of the ending of the first covenant, and now the second covenant. We have obtained mercy, for God has committed them all to disobedience, that he may have mercy on all, so that they could repent, so that they could come to salvation. This is such a complicated way of doing things, isn't it? I don't understand it. It was kind of not so good for the Israelites, but it worked out for all of us, but it was also part of God's plan. Which makes verse 33 so, and the end of this chapter, so funny, I guess, in a way, to read. It says, oh, the depth of riches, both of the wisdom and the knowledge of God, how unsearchable are his judgments and his ways past finding out. But what's so good It's a faith that we can have in his mercy, his love, his laws, his ways, in him. That even though his ways are past finding out, they're for our benefit. And they're for the benefit of those who were cut away and that can be and will be grafted in. Let's end in 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. See how mercy leads to our hope. This hope of this tree that we're a part of. This hope of salvation that was given to us and for, as Paul said there, mercy for all. 1 Peter 1 and chapter 3, it says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his abundant mercy has begotten us again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, and that does not fade away. It is reserved in heaven for you who are kept by the power of God through faith for salvation, ready to be revealed the last time." We are kept by the power of God, the roots. The root of the tree that we have been grafted into. We are kept by him and protected. Brethren, I hope that throughout this week, you take some time and meditate on the mercy that God has poured out upon you individually. I think about what I have done, and I don't know if I could be as merciful as God has towards someone else that did even half of the things that I have done. How much mercy has God shown you? We think about that, meditate on it. Let that mercy strengthen your hope in the future. The hope of the resurrection to eternal life. The hope of salvation. And the hope of an inheritance that is undefilable and incorruptible and that will never fade away.